Okay, we're starting the Ran. The Ran, defends Rashi's shita against Tosa's questions. Okay, let's take the Ran. Okay, so he gives a short answer, right? He gives a short answer, and then he spends the next three, four paragraphs explaining it. But what's the short answer? That what? That midoraisa, really midoraisa, one of them, either one is sufficient. Midoraisa, either one is enough. Either bedika or bittel. Yeah. Therefore, that what? So bedika is also good midoraisa. V'kol shebodak min haTorah eino tzarach levatel. In other words, when the Gemara says abodech tzarach sheyevatel, that doesn't mean you haven't fulfilled your chi of daraisa until you're mevatel. Then it would, if it meant that you weren't yotze, if it meant that you didn't fulfill your chi of daraisa unless you did bittel, then it would be an impossible question. Hold on, Ariel. Then it would be impossible, right? Because you can't say it's coming to prevent by your rabbi yamatze when and at the same time say that if you do it you're not done unless you do bittel. Right? And to say bittel alone is enough. Right? But he's saying no, really bittel alone, really bedika alone would be good midaraisa. Hilkach. Okay, so now there's one other problem. It's true that bedika would be sufficient midaraisa, right? But still the Rabbanan insists you do bittel anyway. Right, so it's really not going to be, it's not going to be the thing that ultimately is the Rabbanan are relying on. So that he says no. So that's okay, saying since what? Since you don't do the bittel until after the bedika, you can say that the bedika is coming to prevent by your rabbi yamatzei. It's a funny answer, right? In other words, like in terms of time-wise, when you do the bedika. So you haven't done the bittel yet.
So how is he treated?
So that bedika really is at the time you're doing essential. The bedika, it is really the true bedika midaraisa, and it is preventing by your rabbi matzei. Why the rabbanon don't want to rely on that? That's a question he's going to have to deal with. But he's saying shapir ikal and meimar the bedika asik desh lo yavar lo by your rabbi matzei. It's strange, though. So then that means that bedika wouldn't be good enough. All of these. And the problem is there are a lot of sugyas here that they're all related. You can't learn. You have to learn with one common theme throughout all these sugyas. Rashi and Tosus learned that Gemara on what's the problem of the Gliski Yofed differently, and it's totally in what you hold about Bedika and Bio. You really can't take one Gemara in isolation, but he's going to go through the whole thing. He's going to try to lay it all out, but at this point he's saying that what? He's saying that there is a Tzura of Bedika as a Chefza Midaraisa. In other words, you want to know is bedika good midaraisa? What does that mean? It means to say is it recognized midaraisa as a mechanism that will prevent by your rabbi yamatze, right? So he says that it is. They make you do another thing afterwards. That's a midrabanan. They insist on another on. On a secondary, on a backup, but that doesn't mean that there's not an institution midaraisa of bedika. Yeah. Okay. So the question is like this: what does he mean that midaraisa bedika is enough? Bedika and bit and bior, right? What does he mean that bedika? Does he mention no? He mentions bior later. But bedika means bior too. Bedika means bior because what you find, you destroy. So what does that mean? That's your question, Ariel. So what is the chiddush over there? What does it mean that midaraisa is good to do bedika and bior? Is there a half mina that you're going to be over by Yerua by Yamasai on the ashes that you burned up? You need a... What do you mean? You mean Tosus would argue? Tosus would say no. Unless you do Bittul, that can't be. It's not possible. It's not possible. Right? That's what your question is?
Yes.
Yeah, so what does it mean?
No, we won't be over by my level.
Okay, good. So in other words, he means even like the case on Vav, the Gluska Yofa. Right? That in other words, it doesn't make sense to say, when you're talking about Bidika being good Midoraisa, Bidika and Bior being good Midoraisa, it's not on the Chometz Yadua. There's no Chiddush to tell you on Chometz Yadua that if you destroy it, you're not going to be chayav for Bayi Rabbi Yamatzai. Right? That's obvious. So he must mean even on the Chometz that's not Yadua. Right? That's why you have to say that Bidika is Midoraisa. Meaning to say, without knowing, without the Torah telling you that this is a mechanism to prevent your being over on Bayiro Bayimotzei. The Torah says, don't have any Chametz in your Rishus. Don't have any Chametz in your Rishus. Chametz should not be found in your Rishus. Right? So, to say Bidika is good Midoraisa means to say that if I do Bidika, then I'm considered not to have Chametz in my Rishus, even if I find a piece later. Right? I mean, it has to have a meaning. He has to mean more than just saying that you're not going to be over on the Chametz that you destroy. Because why would you need to tell me that you don't need to prove that Midoraisa, you're not over on the Chametz you destroy. And you don't need a special institution in the Torah to tell you that if you destroy something, you're not going to be over for having it. Right. Okay, so he starts it like this. So he's going to give. He's going to try to explain the whole Indian clearly, because it's a confusing matter. So he says like this. First of all, is what the Torah says. Bayom Rishon, Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbisu Sovim Vitechem. Right. You have to destroy the chametz from your rishus. And the Gemara says that midoraisa bittul is enough. Where does the Gemara say midoraisa bittul is enough? Right, so there are two places, I think. One is on Dalam Bey, in terms of believing a cotton. So it says, since midoraisa bittul is enough, so then the Rabbanan can give nemanus to a cotton. Because it's himnu Rabbanan bid Rabbanan. And the other case is what? Is where the Gemara says, if you had two houses, one was bodak and one was not. Right, and then two pieces, one was chametz and one was matzah, and you're not sure which one went into which. So that's a principle on Issa Midrabanan, is a principle of tolin. We can assume that the treif went with the treif and the kasher went with the kasher. Okay, so the Gemara says also here, you can say that by the chametz too. The midraisa bebita ba'alma sagile. Okay. The only problem is that what? The Gemara says that midoraisa bittul is enough. But what does the Gemara not say? No. What does the Gemara not say? No. How do we know bittul is enough? That's what the Gemara does not say. The Gemara does not say how you know bittul is enough. Right? So take a look at the Rashi. That's who's quoted. He's quoting this Rashi on Dalet on Bez. So Rashi says in Dalam is bebitul ba'alma dechsiv tashbisu veloksiv tivaru vehashbasa delev hi hashbasa. Hashbasa delev is hashbasa. Yeah, and that's the Rashi he's quoting, right? Because he says kedivrei Rashi zal ulefi tirgum unkelos tashbisu tivatlan. Okay. So what does he mean? What does he mean over here? How do you know bittul? How does the Rabbana know bittul is enough? How does Rabbana know bittul is enough? Because so Rashi says they learn it from the Lashon of Tashbisu. Because it didn't say Tisrafu.
right?
Yeah.
It has to mean
bittul. Yeah, so what does it mean? So what's the mashmos of tashbisu different from tisrifu? I mean, by vazor, it has three different lashons. Hashke, srofa, kale. So, I mean, maybe this also means that. No? Not a good question? No, maybe not. But what do you say? Is there a mashmos of tashbisu? Is it just... what's the mashmos of tashbisu? Why is it mashma bittul? Has to make sense that it's bittul. You wouldn't say tisrifu means bittul. You'd never say something like that. Right? Tisrifu can't possibly mean bittul. So why, how does tashbisu mean bittul? In what sense? Well, what's the whole pasuk really? It says tashbisu seor mibotechem. If it said tevaru, you wouldn't say, well, it doesn't say tasrifu, so it must mean bittul. No, because the word means destroy it. If the word means destroy it, then you can't say, because it didn't say destroy it another way, it doesn't mean destroy it. So what does tashbisu mean? Ambiguous what it means, tashbisu. Right, and why does it say, because it doesn't say, what? Tevaru, he says? Lo sevaru. I mean, do we know what the word means or not? Right, so tashbisu, see, I think it's also important that it says tashbisu seor mibotechem, meaning to say tivaru would mean a maisa on the chametz, to destroy it. Right? Tivaru would be on the cheftza, right, on the chametz. That the chametz you find in your house destroy. But tashbisu seor mibotechem could be interpreted to mean that you should render the bias free from chametz, and then the rishus should be, it's passive, the rishus should be free from chametz. So tashbisu is what? So what does it mean tashbisu sorm v'teichem? Why does that mean bittul b'lev? What does it mean bittul b'lev? He goes everything step by step here. But he's saying lo tevaru means there's no chiyuv to destroy the cheftza like avodah zara, like as an entity, that it has to be destroyed. The mitzvah is in terms of the relationship between you and your between the cheftza and your rishus. Right? It's not that once it becomes chametz, once it's a chametz shel yisrael, it demands destruction. Right, that would be tivaru, but it means you have to render the rishus mushbas from chametz, right? It's a relationship. The problem is the relationship between the rishus and the object. So that doesn't demand destruction. There could be other ways to do it. It doesn't demand destruction. There's no other way to, once the object is chayiv and klia and destruction. Kisusi mechtas shiure, something like that. That's it. Then that means there's a din that you're not mekayim until you destroy it, right? It demands to be destroyed. But over here, lo tashbisu seor mivotechem is talking about a certain relationship between the chametz and your rishus, and it's saying it has to be, you have to break it. But that doesn't demand destruction. There could be other ways of removing it. Remove the relative is what you have to do, right? You have to remove the relative, remove the connection, remove the tziruf. Of course, if you destroy it, that would be true, but that's not an intrinsic din of sreifa here. It's a din of the bias of really of the bias not having the relationship with Yerushus, not being related to chametz. Okay. That's one shot. But then he says, "Inami nafkalon yidchsev lo yiroa lecha ki yidchsev rabbein seinim hatzarfatim." Yeah, that's the Tosus on Dalam Beis, right? That's the Tosus you were talking about. Yeah, what does Tosus say on Dalam Beis? He says it's really midin hefker, right? He says pirush bekunshus yidchsev tashibisu v'lo ksev tevaru. Almash basa belevi v'kashalari, dehai hashbasa havorahi. V'lo bittel. Right? Tashbisu is not bittel. It's burning. It's havara. Titanya b'shmayin. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Ein tzarech. How do you know? That's the thing about, how do you know that you have to destroy the chametz on the 14th and not on the 15th? So Rabbi Kiva says, because it says Tashbisu b'yom rishon. B'yom rishon Tashbisu. And Rabbi Kiva says you can't burn anything on Yantif. So it must be on the 14th. So you see, Rabbi Kiva is learning Tashbisu means burning. It's from. Saying, then you see Tosis learns. Yeah, so therefore the Reis says you don't learn it from Tashbisu. You just learn it because it's Hefker. V'yotza Merishuso. Because it says, Avalata Roa Shalachirim, V'shal Gavoa. You just not, you're not over Lo Yeroa Lecha, because it's not yours anymore. Yeah, it's funny how the Ron puts these two things together like they're one, right? Like they're just an Inami. Yeah. Like they're in the same general theme. Just two different possibilities. Two different versions of one thing. But they're really very different, right?
I don't understand how he's...
I mean, he really doesn't pick up Tosis. He really goes with Rashi. He doesn't go with Tosis in the end. Right? Now he's just talking about Bittel. I mean, it's interesting. He starts over and he just starts with Bittel first. He didn't get to Bedikah yet. Bedikah comes later. But he just wants to give an overview of the whole Inyan, and he starts with Tashbisu, and he tries to explain, and he says, because he starts with the Gemara, because the Gemara, that's what I'm saying. Everybody's going to have to start with that. That Gemara is inescapable. But the Gemara says that midoraisa bittel is enough. So when you want to start the Inyan, right? He starts it with what everybody, with one well-grounded fact that cannot be misinterpreted, and that is that midoraisa, if you did bittel, that's sufficient.
Right.
So now why? Now he goes through that. Yeah, that's clear. So it's just saying like this thing. How do you know bittel is good? He's not sure. He's giving two possibilities. Either bittel is good because that's the mashmos of tashbisu, like Rashi. Or bittel is good because you simply don't own it anymore. And then you're not over lo yiroa licha, because it's not yours. Okay? What exactly is the difference between these two? Let's see. So now he's going to go a little deeper into the bittel. Go ahead. See, but now when he continues mahu inyan bittel zeh, right, he's really only going, this whole paragraph, I think, is only learning according to Rashi. It's not going to work out according to Tosis. Okay, so he wants to prove, he's very methodical over here. Going with what's clear and what he can prove. So we know for sure that what? Bittel is enough midaraisa. Okay, now what type of a thing is bittel? So since the Gemara, when the Gemara is talking about whether or not you need bittel, right, when the Gemara is questioning why do you need bittel, and it says maybe because of the pirurin, right, and the Gemara says, maybe they're chashiv because they're inside the bias, and it's a shmira shlomi daite, right? Shmira shlomi daite. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says I'll prove to you that what, that you don't need bittel on those. Why? Why? No. Why? Because they have a din hefker. Right. Now there's a Gemara proving, says, why don't you need bittel on the pirurin? Right? I'll prove to you from the sofei te'enim that you don't need bittel on the chametz, on the pirurin. Because the sofei te'enim have shmira shalomidaite, and yet they're hefker. So therefore you don't need bittel on the pirurin. Aye, so what does that mean? It means to say that hefker is bittel. That's what he wants to say. You see from here that hefker is bittel. Or at least you see, if you did hefker, you would accomplish bittel, right? At least you see bittel is included in hefker, right?
I don't see it.
The old diagrams, the Venn diagrams.
But the fact that it said that they don't need
bittel. Why? Right? The Gemara says habodik tzarich shivata. Why? Maybe you'll say because of the pirurin. Right? So that's to show you there's no reason to do bittel on the pirurin. What? Now, there's no reason to do bittul on the piruin because they're already hefker.
So you see, chashiv to hefker.
Chashiv means that they're not hefker. That's what it means.
Oh, fine.
That's all it means over there. That's equivalent to bittul. Hefker is hefker is equivalent to bittul. Okay, now there's a problem. Now there's a problem like this. It says you got to be, you got to have a good methodology over here. He has a good methodology. takes it one step at a time, right? Definitely is bittul in the Torah. Bittul definitely is, what does he call it? It's mitoras hefker. It's mitoras hefker. Midin hefker. But the only problem is, this is not really a classic method of hefker. It's not a classical method of hefker. Hefker wouldn't work this way. If I had a watch, and I just said, this watch is like dust, right? Nobody could take it. That's what you're saying. Nobody could taste it. Nobody could take it. Huh? My dust. Still my dust. Bittul is in the Torah, and if you're mafkir, you're mekayim that bittul. That's what you're saying. Okay. In your house. In other words, even though those piruin are in your house, you don't need to do more than just make them hefker. There's nothing more. That the Gemara is using the term of chashiv and ain chashiv interchangeably with hefker and not. So then your question is, can you be overfilling something that's not chashiv? Not if not chashiv equals hefker. No, what's confusing you is the chashiv of the gluska yofa, right?
Yeah.
That's what's confusing you. That's a different thing. That's a completely different thing. That's daite iluya. That's daite iluya. That's a different thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, like Rashi says, that what? Yeah, patur min ha-maiser. Why? Because the hefker patur min ha-maiser. Right? Okay. So the problem is now that this is not a normal way to do hefker. This is not a normal way to do hefker. If a person just says lahavu ka'afra, it's interesting. It doesn't say ka'afra da'ara, right? It doesn't say ka'afra da'ara. What? In the Ran. Just says lahavu ka'afra. It should be like dust. Maybe afradara would imply. Because afradara means I don't own it. But just ka'afra doesn't mean that.
Wait, but isn't the whole point?
First point is even the lashon of ka'afra. First point is even the lashon of ka'afra doesn't mean hefker. Guy's just whatever. He's depressed. He's lost interest in his object. When you lose interest in something, the best way to get the interest back is someone trying to take it. So he's definitely not right when someone tries to get it. He's, whoa, that's mine. You just said it's kafra. Yeah, that was before you wanted it. So kafra doesn't mean bittul. Doesn't mean hefker. Okay? Yeah. And also, the problem is, what? You can vatl belibo. And hefker, that definitely doesn't work. Because that's dvarm shebelev. Dvarm shebelev in dvarm. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, and then you have a real problem going to Rabbi Yossi. If you hold that, this is like you were talking about, Chaim. Remember we were talking about the other day? If hefker is like a matana, like you're just giving it. But then it's not complete until someone takes it. Okay. Go ahead. Yep. Okay, so he says that what? That the reason why this type of hefker works here and doesn't work anywhere else is what?
Not after.
Is because, says it's true, if it were in your rishus, it wouldn't work. If it really were in your rishus, it wouldn't work this way. Just to say it's ka'afra wouldn't help. But what? But chametz is one of the two things that the Torah puts in your rishus, even though it's not in your rishus. That's a good question. No, not before Pesach. Not before Pesach. Yeah, hold on. Shani, chametz shani, lefi she'eino birshus l'shadam. Yeah, I mean, Levi's right. That's after Pesach. But El Shah Sola Kasav Kilu Ubershusa. But it is really, but when you're doing Bittel, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you can't do Bittel after 6 hours. Right? Because then it's not in Yerushas anymore. But when you're doing Bittel, it is in Yerushas. So you should require Hefka. You should require all the Dinim of Hefka. Right? El Shah Sola Kasav Kilu Ubershusa. What kind of an idea is that? I mean, what kind of an idea is that? It's not your object. It's not your object. But we're going to make it like it's your object. Why? Just so that you can be over. Just so you can be over.
It's not your object enough. Yeah.
I mean, what kind of an idea is this? Shnei dvarim einan b'rishusha shal adam v'asoan ha-kosav ki'ilu b'rishusha. L'hischayev alein, Rashi says. What are the two? Bor b'rishus harabim and chometz mishay shos ulamala. Meaning to say what? That there's some intrinsic problem in being over by Yerub Ha'yamotzei. There's some intrinsic halachic problem in being over by Yerub Ha'yamotzei. Because the issue is to own it. Right? But automatically you don't. So you can never be over.
Wait, I don't understand.
That's the thing. That was why is it? What does it mean? It's two things that are not yours, but the Torah makes them like they're yours.
Right, but why is that intrinsic in Balyarabalimatze?
So he's saying there's a problem in Balyarabalimatze. Because the Isser is to own it, but something that has no value, apparently the Gemara says you can't own. Right. So then how can you ever be over Balyarabalimatze?
Because
the Isser or no?
What you mean? If you're in the Vatka?
No, how can you be over the Isser? How can you be Chayev Balyarabalimatze?
During
Pesach.
So during Pesach.
The Torah says, don't lo yiroi l'cha. So how can you violate that? It has to be yours to violate that.
Okay.
Oh, but we're saying, but when Pesach starts, it can't be yours. Right. So nobody can ever violate lo yiroi l'cha.
Unless it was there.
No. Yeah, but it can't be. That's what you're saying. It can't be.
What if you're not involved with
that? Doesn't matter. Something that has no value, and as Yisra Noi is saying, does not have, you don't have bilis on.
Because it's an Israel, it's just blanket, no matter who owns it, it has no value.
Yeah, it's like it's out of your shus, automatically out of your shus. So that's why you need to say that what? That's why I have to say that it's ki'ilu b'rishuso. Also on akosav ki'ilu b'rishuso. Ve'ilu hein, what are the two things? Bor b'rishus harabim v'chomets v'sheisho sulamala. So he's saying this is the reason. Because the Isra Chomets is based on this imposed bilus, for some reason, because it's based on this imposed bilus, that's why the hefker will work midin. That's why bittel will work midin hefker. Even though, if it were on a normal object of bilus, hefker bittel would never be hefker. But over here, for this pseudo bilus, a pseudo hefker is good.
Yeah.
So what is this pseudo? What is this hefker? How does this hefker accomplish? What do you have to do? All you need is giloy das. All you need is a giloy das. You need a giloy das. Apparently, it seems you have to be some expressions. Interesting. You need a gilei das that what? That you don't want it. De lo nichale. I'm sorry. De lo nichale de lave zechusa begave. There has to be some gilei das that you're not happy to have any zechus in it. At all. Umahani, guess go a little further.
Umahani, afilu l'chametz yidua.
Even known chametz. Kidamrina and the motzig l'ski yafifia. The daite eluya. Yeah. What does he mean by that? He means it'll work even when you find it later. Mm-hmm. What does he mean? But that's not a case of chametz yidua.
Even if you know about it, when you do a bito, they give us.
Now, is why what?
According to the rhyme, this.
Oh, so maybe he's proving it because the Gemara says. What is this proof from Gluska Yafa? The Gluska Yafa is really finding it later. And you already did Bedika, like Rash says. Everything that you found is already destroyed. But maybe he's proving it because the Gemara says that why can't you do Bittel on it when you find it? right? And it only says you can't do bittul on it when you find it because it's past the Zman Isra. But beforehand, the bittul would be good. So you see, the bittul would be good, right?
And in the next case, is the Gemara.
Yeah, and the Gemara with the Talmud, Yosef de Rabo, and then he remembers he has dough that's turning into chametz. When is that case? That's on Pesach. That's on Pesach. So how can you do bittul on Pesach? Because it's before it turns into chametz.
You're being mevatel
non-chametz. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says you can be mevatel because it's just flour. Shlovi chmitza. One second. There's no isra no. It's yours. It's going to become chametz, right? Tikodim umevatel. Rashi says belibo do a dayin hebrew shuso shlo nesra love. Now the guy has flour. We live in a different type of you know, time period where people think you can't make matzah on Pesach, right? If someone mixed flour and water on Pesach, people go crazy. But they used to do that all the time, right? Okay. So they used to do it all the time. They used to do it all the time. Make fresh matzahs on Pesach,
right?
Right. So the problem would be. Problem B, let's say you had the flour and the water, and you can't get to it before it's going to become chametz. So you just be mevatel it. Hareza ka'afra. But you still have the same problem. When it's flour and water and not chametz, so it's just a regular object of yours, right? So then you should require real hefker.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And once the bittul already occurs, and once it's already not in your rishus, now it's too late.
Yeah.
So when does it? So what does it do? I mean, that's not understand, right? Still is difficult. The Ron's answer still is very difficult to understand because when you need to do it, it is really in your rishus. It's not fake in your rishus when you need to do the bittul. It's not ki'ilu birshuso bishas bittul. It's really in your Rishus B'shas Bittul, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, you should require a real Hefker. And when it exists in the Ki'ilu B'Rishuso, that's exactly when the Gemara says you can no longer do Bittul. Right?
When is it like Ki'ilu B'Rishuso?
After the Zman Isra. Or after it becomes Chametz. So how does it work? I mean, the problem is you still have to be Mafki, and he's saying it to be Din Hefker. You still have to be mafkia, the object, while it exists in your rishus, and if bittul is not a good way to get it out of your rishus, then it's still in your rishus. And that's the one case. That's the case that you can get malchus on Pesach. If you make chametz on Pesach, you get malchus, because it's b'maisa. Yeah. We have to understand better the idea of something that's not birshuso and it's ki'ilu birshuso. And that's what this is all tully on, right? You have an idea?
No.
Oh. So let's take the boar, right? We did boar for a few months. Yeah, so what's the problem of boar? Why does boar need this din of ki'ilu b'rishuso? Yeah, because it's a boar b'rishuso rabim. It's not yours, right? Bor b'shus haramim, haposkel chayev b'nizgin ve'ein habor shelo. So yes. Yeah, so what are you chayev for? It's not your mamon, right? It's not your mamon. It's not mamon amazik, and it's not your maisa, right? Yeah. The case is you go into the b'shus haramim and you dig a big hole, and you watch people fall in, right? So you chayev. But why should you be chayav? The problem is, what's the problem? The problem is you don't own it. You don't own it. You didn't push anybody into it.
So four is negative space.
And it's just negative space. How could you own a negative?
There's nothing there.
Okay. Ve'ein shel hefker. The boar belongs to hefker. Sherei b'shus harabmu. Ve'alpi shekarohu. Even though he dug it, ain rishus harabim kenuyalo. Ah, that's an important Rashi. Afo pisha karohu, even though he dug it, v'chi yichra ishbor, right? Even though he dug it, ein rishus harabim kenuyalo, can't buy, can't acquire rishus harabim, right? Yeah, so what does it mean? Now, when we say it's not yours, but it's ki'ilu, it's yours, just to make you chayev, is that just an arbitrary... Could the Torah just make anything like it's yours? Like my example, a guy goes into the town and there's an accident, and they say, okay, that's yours now, pay up. You can just make an arbitrary thing, that's yours? No, but this is not even zochin. You can't own the boar. There's no way to own the boar. There's no way to own the boar. So what does it mean? What does it mean it's ki'ilu? What does it mean it's ki'ilu? What does it mean it's not yours, but it's ki'ilu, it's yours? It's not yours how?
Bilus.
Mominus, right? In terms of bilus of mominus, it's not yours. Well, that's the question. You can't just say in terms of his chayvus, right? Because then you can just make anybody chayev for anything. So that's Rashi says, Af al pi shekorahu ein, which is a rabim kenuyalo. What? It's a product of Yemaisa. In other words, it is yours in a certain sense. In a certain sense, it is yours. Not in a dine mominus sense. Now, in terms of the regular rules of dine mominus and nizke mamon, it doesn't fall under the category of nizke mamon. Because in a regular choshen mishpat kinyonim sense, it's not yours. You don't have bailus on it. But there is a sense that it is yours. There's a sense that it's related to you. My example would not be good. A guy can't just walk into town and say, we deem this yours. Why? Well, we need someone to be chayev. It's like the joke, right? It's a guy, they say there was a guy and there was a murder in the town, you know, a small town in Europe, and the butcher murdered somebody, right? But there was only one butcher in the town. There were five barbers, so they killed the barber instead. Has to get somebody. You can't get him, so we'll just make you chayev, right? Can't do something like that. That doesn't make any sense. Well, someone has to pay for this crime. So you can't just say we need someone to be chayev. It's not a funny joke. I didn't say it's funny, but I'm saying it illustrates a point, though. So. Anyway, so the point is like this, that there has to be a true way that it is considered yours. It can't be just a fake way that is yours, just to make you chayev. Then it's not based on anything. Then the whole chayev doesn't make any sense. Has to be that in one sense it's not yours, in the sense that normally, in the sense that nezikin normally follow. It's not yours. But in another sense, it is yours. And in this case, the Torah is going by the other sense. Normally, it goes by the yours of mominus. But over here, in the Mekhi Chayev, even on being yours as your product, like people say, their idea is theirs. It's not mominus. But you created it in a certain way, it's yours.
You can go by that.
So let's say a guy digs a bore, just to bring this example home a little bit more. Let's say a guy digs a bore, and we're just to rob him, and he says, the bore is hefker. Wouldn't help him. Wouldn't help him at all.
So then, with the case of...
But what's difficult is, of course he can fill it in. He could remove it, but what's difficult is how do you apply this same type of analysis to chametz?